This is Nora Rawlinson of Early Word. Welcome to First Flights, the Penguin debut author program, a unique opportunity for librarians to get to know the authors of major new titles coming out in the next few months. If you haven't already, you can join First Flights by signing up on earlyword.com. You'll receive advanced copies of forthcoming debut novels and have the opportunity to join a live online chat with each author. Today I'll be talking to Natalie Bazile, author of Queen Sugar, her first novel to be published in February 2014 by Pamela Dorman Books, a division of Penguin Viking. Queen Sugar is a novel about Charlotte, or Charlie Bordelon, a young woman living in Los Angeles whose father dies, inexplicably leaving her something she didn't even know he owned, a sugarcane farm in South Louisiana, where he grew up and where his mother still lives. Charlie takes this as an opportunity to leave L.A. and start a new life with her 11-year-old daughter, Micah. There's just one hitch. She knows nothing about raising sugarcane. Faced with 800 neglected acres, this young black woman has to quickly learn some complex new skills and deal with the skepticism and prejudices of the more experienced local farmers. Into this mix comes her half-brother, Ralph Angel, who feels slighted that their father left the land to Charlie. Welcome, Natalie.
Thank you so much, Nora.
Tell me, what inspired you to become a writer?
Well, you know, the truth is, I have always wanted to write. I remember when I had my first daughter and some friends threw a baby shower for me. And my mom came and she brought the baby book where she compiled all of the notes and, you know, observations that she'd made about me when I was young. And at the time, I was not writing very much. Well, I was actually working in a family business, and I would come home in the evening and write. And when I opened up this baby book, and she had written a little note saying, Natalie loves books, and she always is writing stories. And she, I think I was probably, you know, 5 or 6 at the time that she made that note. But I'd never seen that. And it was like looking back into my own past and looking ahead into my own future. And something happened to me in that moment. And it really confirmed that, you know, writing has always been a part of me. And I can't tell you what a special affirming moment that was for me. And I think it was the moment I decided just privately to myself that I really was going to pursue this dream. And it wasn't long after that that I actually quit my job and started writing full time. So I think, you know, writing has always been something that I have been called to do and dreamed of doing, but I really had to muster the courage. And that took a little while.
What made you want to write this particular story? I mean, I have to tell you, when I first approached the book and read that it was about, you know, raising cane sugar, I immediately expected it to be set during the Civil War period. I honestly didn't know the U.S. was still raising cane, or so to speak.
Yeah, well, you know, turns out that South Louisiana, from about, if you're at all familiar with Louisiana, from about Lafayette, which is about 2 hours, 2.5 hours west of New Orleans, all the way to New Orleans, that whole band of South Louisiana is really sugarcane country. And yeah, people don't expect that from, you know, South Louisiana. They think, you know, the Caribbean or Hawaii, but sugarcane is still grown, although the industry has changed a lot, you know, in the last 50 years. It's not like it was before, where you would have a lot of small, you know, individual farmers. Most of the sugarcane now is grown by large corporate industries, yeah, corporate conglomerates.
Certainly reflects other kinds of farming, yes, going on in the U.S. You say, exactly, that the fields are beautiful, but raising sugarcane is sounds like a very difficult process, and you detail it, yes, in the book in a fascinating way. I didn't know I could be so interested in the raising of any crop, actually. How did you learn about it?
Well, you know, I had the good fortune of being introduced to a real-life sugarcane farmer. This was back in 2005. And he was very kind to me. And we were introduced in July of 2005. And then Hurricane Katrina hit. Well, after people kind of recovered from that, you know, in the early fall, I started calling him, asking him, you know, questions about, well, what kind of equipment would my character use? And what kind of, you know, how much acreage would she really own and be able to manage? And after about the 25th phone call, he said to me, you know, you really need to come down here for grinding. And grinding is the term that the sugarcane farmers use to describe the harvest.
Right.
And so I thought, okay, well, I booked a ticket. And he, because he was a farmer, he took me through the mills, you know, he let me ride on tractors and combines. And so really from 2005, all the way up until the last draft of the book was written, I started going down to South Louisiana probably once a quarter for, you know, a different part of the growing season. And whatever I needed to do, my friends down there would figure out a way to help me, you know, meet the people who would let me do that. So, you know, I remember one August, I figured out, you know, I really need to show my character working. Charlie really needs to be in the fields. And so I called them and they introduced me to these two brothers who were planting their fields. And I got out there early one morning and planted that sugarcane, because my feeling was the only way I could really do justice to this story was if I tried to recreate that, the physical experience for my readers. And I just took every opportunity I could to, you know, get out there and plant the sugarcane and harvest the sugarcane and, you know, walk through the mills. I just had to live it. You know, there's a line in the book where Prosper Denton tells Charlie, you know, you've got to live this. And that's what I did.
You certainly make the reader feel the heat and the hard work, but also the exhilaration when those few times when things actually turn out. How did you go about getting the book actually into publication?
Well, you know, after I had worked on it and then revised it again, I had some friends, other writers. Here in San Francisco, there's a group of writers called the San Francisco Writers Grotto, and it has grown from four writers who started this to 90 writers.
Wow.
But we have an office space down near the ballpark downtown, and that's where we all go to work every day. So everybody has an office, or we share an office. And it's a wonderful community of people.
Every day there's 90 writers showing up and working?
Well, there might not be 90. There might be, you know, 40 or 50, depending on, you know, who's doing. But it's a lot of people.
Yeah.
And when I was ready, people made some introductions to, you know, agents for me. And that's how I got my agent, was from just an introduction, you know, from one of the other writers down there. And she, it was Kimberly Witherspoon, and she loved the book. And, you know, it was a relatively short span of time between the time I signed with her and the time that the book was sold.
Amazing. Are you now thinking about the next novel?
I am.
I am.
Yeah. You know, I have some ideas, and you know, I've kind of created some new challenges for myself. There's some things that I really learned about, of course, novel writing, you know, from this first book, and I want to try to take all of that and, you know, apply it to the next book, understanding that I'll have to learn a whole new set of, you know, rules and all that stuff for the next book. It won't be the same, but
exactly.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to the next book, too.
Well, we're looking forward to talking to you more when we do our live online chat. Thanks for joining us, Natalie, and for giving the Penguin First Flight's participants insight on your debut novel, Queen Sugar. And thanks to you out there for listening. If you're not a member of Penguin's First Flight's program, you can sign up on earlyword.com. And please come back for the live chat with Natalie Bazile on Wednesday, October 9th, from 4 to 5 p.m. Eastern.